SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level three, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got Ian Cameron, A.K. Babano, going to be stepping up and in and kicking it with us. We'll talk some more football, NFL preseason, recap a little CFL football as well. Just talking about the Colorado Buffaloes. They're going to be a fun team, exciting team to watch play. Right, Dion has done a great job bringing players in. People don't like how they did it, but it is what it is. And you know, I think that it was a little excessive. I think it was just some of the, I think it was the way that Deion Sanders threw the players under the bus that were on that team, calling them baggage, and you know what I mean. You know, they're kids, right? They're you know what I mean, they're playing for free, you know what I mean. They got, you know, like they're not pro players. Like Deion really brings like a pro football mentality to a college room. Which is fine, and it'll be fine once it gets going. But he knew he was going to throw all those kids out of the bus. Like he just should have told him point blank right away. Like you know, but he kind of did. Yet, as the players that were there, and some of them were pretty good, right? It wasn't their fault the team sucked. But the players said that they left on their own. Like there was a couple of kids. Like one of the wide receivers really good. I think he went to Nebraska. They had a couple of like big time recruits that were already there. And they said that Deion and the coaching staff had attitude towards everybody that was already there, that he treated the new kids better than he, like, he basically was trying to, like, you know, if you want to, you know what I mean? He didn't, said that they basically, too, it was pretty damn. He said, like, they basically didn't even coach us, basically. Like, they barely talked to us. and he said, you know, I realized that, yeah, I wasn't, he said, Deion's not for me, right? The guy said, so he split. I think it's Nebraska. I want to get it right. We'll get back to it. But so it's 3.5 their win total. I think Colorado, listen, they have a lot of really good players. His kid is good. The quarterback is good. They're going to be super athletic. Don't forget, like, he got, like, the best defensive back in the country to go. Like, he's gotten a couple of big-time recruits that understand, like, whatever, he's Deion Sanders. He knows how to prepare me, and he can get me into the NFL. I think it's going to be like 2-3 years. Like 2 years from now, like Colorado are going to be dangerous. And they'll be in the Big 12, obviously. I think Deion will build this thing up and they will become good. I don't know if they'll win. I'm not saying they're going to win a national championship, but, you know, he's going to build this thing up for sure. 3.5 is intriguing. It's a pretty light number. I mean, you know, you're not asking for a ton at 3.5. The problem with that, I think Colorado are going to be a fun team to watch. I think they're going to be good. They're going to be competitive. But their schedule is very tough. So they're opening up at TCU. They're not going to win that game. They're 20.5-point underdogs. TCU lost quite a bit, but still. I mean, they're pretty loaded. Like, I don't know if they're going to cover the spread. I'm not ready to lay 20.5. The total is 59.5 in that game. You got to believe there's going to be a ton of points. Level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. The mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in the house. SoCal kicking it. Solely in Cameron. Babano's going to step up in a couple of minutes. We'll talk some football with Babano. We'll talk baseball later after Babano. We'll talk some football with Babano. And we'll get into some baseball, get you caught up to date with the updated odds, standings, and everything else in between as far as the wild card is concerned and playoff odds. But we're talking about the Colorado Buffaloes a little bit and Sonny Dykes in preparation. Countdown to kickoff is on. Preparation, TCU in Colorado. Saturday, September the 2nd, noon Eastern on Fox. 20.5 is the point spread right now. The total is 59.5. Dyke says it's going to be a real challenge to get Colorado first because there's no tape on them, right? Last year is irrelevant. It's a completely new program, and they don't really know what to expect, and it's going to be a challenge. Obviously, they'll watch some Jackson State tape from last year, but you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be a challenge for TCU. It's going to be a fun football game. Everybody wants to see this game. And so Colorado's win total is 3.5. Can I get to 4? You're not asking a lot. Like 4-8, you win your bet. Right? So Colorado at TCU, I doubt they're going to win that game. Like I said, the 20.5 points. So that's a loss. Nebraska and Colorado, funny, old school rivalry. Also an interesting tidbit as far as Colorado is concerned. There was a kid on the Colorado Buffaloes like last week that rolled into the room or whatever, and he was wearing like a red tracksuit and stuff. Deion Sanders like pulled him aside and told him, listen, and he told the team, he said, you can wear red if you want, but not too much red. He said, you're all decked out in red. And he goes, those are Nebraska colors. And he goes, we don't like Nebraska. So he, like little tidbits, like the kid was like, what's it like playing for Deion? He goes, well, it's a lot of little things that happen here, right? And yeah, so Deion chewed out some kids that were wearing too much red. So Nebraska actually play at Colorado too. They get Colorado State. 4 could be a challenge, but man, like it's tempting. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Overenzi. I'm the players, the hustlers, the people of Buslam, the Babanos, and everybody else in between. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, steps up and in to join us. Babano, always a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Yeah, good to be with you, Gabe, as always. I hope you and our good friend, Darsh, you had a good time last night at the BC game as the Lions bounced back with authority, with a big win against Calgary. Very entertaining CFL weekend. Great to see NFL preseason get underway. So no shortage of things to talk about.
Very entertaining football game tonight. And our boy Darsh, longtime viewer, listener of the program, although I don't think he tunes in too much anymore. He's pretty busy. He's always traveling, working. But yeah, he's on like a mini CFL tour. He did two games and 2 days on two coasts, Vancouver and Toronto, back to back. I believe he was with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, tonight at the Toronto Argonaut, Ottawa Red Black football game. And it was a wild game, a battle game, obviously sailed over the number. Real tough, bad break. I don't like really the term bad beat, whatever. If you lose, you lose. It was a bad bet. But late field goal for the Toronto Argonauts gave him the cover.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate. And look, that game, it felt the whole way that if you're going to cover and you were going to cash a ticket with Ottawa, they were going to have to keep scoring. Because they just didn't look like they were, you know, just adept or equipped to stop Toronto, especially through the air. And this is now a few weeks in a row where Ottawa's secondary has been picked apart. And, you know, they've got to fix it somehow. And I know they've got Brandon Dandridge out the last couple games. He's by far, I think, been their best cornerback this year. He had a couple of pick sixes earlier in the year. But that secondary has been a problem now for a few weeks. And they just had horrible coverage all night. I don't think there was a single Argo receiver that wasn't wide open throughout the entire football game tonight. And that's unfortunate because of the fact that Dustin Crum and the offense had a much better game. I think from a passing perspective, it might have been Dustin Crum's best game, you know, in terms of his passing through the air. I mean, he was making some really nice passes, the big connection early in the game to Jalen Acklin. But when you can't stop Chad Kelly and the Argo receivers, especially DeVaris Daniels through the air, it's going to make life tough to win a game against a team of that caliber. And that's what it kind of felt like to me, even at halftime. I'm like, I'm not even confident because they just can't get a stop. And unfortunately, it continued in the second half for Ottawa and spoiled a very good performance, I thought, by Dustin Crum.
Yeah, it's good news, bad news for the Ottawa Red Blacks. I think you're right, Babano, in the sense that it was like, you know, it was this great discovery. Wow, you know, Dustin Crum can play. Suddenly we can win football games. We can put points up on the board. And they've proven that their offense is a dynamic offense. But defensively, they've got to tighten things up. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is if you're giving up as many points as they are right now. 44-31 was the final score in a week of a battle that all four games got there and got over the number albeit barely, BC and Calgary. It got there by half a point, but it did get there 4-0 to the over this week in the CFL. 44-31 tonight in this football game. Saturday night, the BC Lions put up 37 points on the Calgary Stampeders, and you and I spoke about BC being very good off of a loss, now 6-0 straight up and against the spread last six games coming off a loss.
Yeah, it was just the perfect spot, I thought, last night to back BC against a very inconsistent Calgary team. I remember we started talking about this game, you know, Wednesday, and I think even, yeah, it was Wednesday. And, you know, when you look at Calgary BC, you know, Calgary's not been able to win two in a row all season. You know, they just win one, lose one, and it continued for them. They couldn't build off that win against Toronto last week and give BC credit. I mean, Vernon Adams, even without Dominique Rimes, it shows you how deep that BC receiving core is. No Dominique Rimes, no problem. Lucky Whitehead had a great game. Keon Hatcher had a great game. Alex Hollins had a great game. And they got more than enough weapons, even without Dominique Rimes. Nice to see Tyquan Mizell, the running back, have a good game as well for the BC Lions. And the defense looked like that BC defense we've seen much of the season, all over Jake Mayer. They couldn't get the run game going, even with Kadeem Carey back on the field, Calgary. And I figured BC's defense, too. That's a very good unit. And I figure the Winnipeg game, it's an aberration, all right? This is still a very good team. This is still a very good defense. And they proved it last night with that whipping over Calgary, who now have got to worry about just making the playoffs at this point.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, throwing it down with us. And Babano, the Montreal Alouettes continue to play good football. Not a lot of people believed in them coming into this year. And if you look at their losses, they've beaten everybody in the league except, you know, they lost to BC, they lost to Winnipeg, and they lost to Toronto. But they've beaten everybody else. Those are the only three games they've lost.
And look, I've been very pessimistic about Montreal all season, but this was the first week I actually backed them. I laid the points with them against Saskatchewan, and kind of worried I was about that when Cody Fajardo didn't play, because the big premise of that bet was I wanted Cody Fajardo on my side here against his former team, because I thought he'd be, you know, the axe to grind. They didn't want to keep him around, and they wanted to go in another direction at quarterback. I wanted Cody to play in this game, but no Cody, no problem. Caleb Evans was good enough. And the defense was just absolutely all over Mason Fine in the offense. It was a brutal night for the Rough Riders offense. It was really a bad night for their defense because they had no Cody Fajardo. They had no William Standback either. And here's Caleb Evans at quarterback. Here's Walter Fletcher and Jeshrin Antwi, the two backup running backs for Montreal, just doing whatever they wanted against that Saskatchewan defense. So it was just an all-out horrible game from Saskatchewan. And I know there's some very hardcore Rider fans, Morency. They're calling out Craig Dickinson because this is now multiple times. They haven't looked mentally prepared to play a football game, and it sure looked that way again on Friday night. But credit to Montreal, many key pieces, including their starting quarterback, out, and they got the job done in dominant fashion.
So 4-0 this week to the over in the Canadian Football League. Looking ahead to week 11, and it's hard to believe, and it sounds crazy to say, wow, week 11, but here we are right now, week 11, the Edmonton Elks, Babano, so they've lost 22 consecutive home games. That's the bad news. The good news for them is, well, they're not at home this week, but they haven't won a game yet. Yet clearly, similar to Ottawa being a different team once Dustin Crum took over at the quarterback position, we saw Trey Ford really provide some spark, some athleticism, some energy, some passion, some youth to that offense and to the quarterback position. He should have been playing all along, but Ben, I thought it was ridiculous that he wasn't. We all know about how super talented he was. I've talked a lot about him. You know, when he went to the Buffalo Bulls pro day. So he, you know, when they were working out for the NFL scouts, he didn't go to the Indy Combine, but he did all like the combine drills. And dude, he was like basically is the same numbers as all the top tier quarterbacks in the National Football League, except even faster. Like he's a super freak athlete. This kid just needs to get some reps and get some snaps. And we saw that Edmonton Elk offense was completely different. They're going to Hamilton this week on Thursday night. I see that the Cats are 4-point favorites.
This is from a side perspective, I don't think I'm betting the game. I mean, I think Hamilton should win. Laying four against an Edmonton team that showed great energy. Like, obviously, they caught the game up in the second half and the better team took over Winnipeg last week. But I love the enthusiasm and the spirit and the energy and what we saw from Edmonton's offense last week. But again, they just can't play four quarters of football. And we saw it again last week. It's a great spot for Hamilton, just like it was for Edmonton off the bye last week, because they changed the offensive coordinator. Hamilton this week on their bye week, just like Edmonton did, going from Tommy Condell, who was fired, and now Scott Milanovic is going to take over as the offensive coordinator for the Ticats. I think Hamilton's offense, even with Powell struggling, I think they'll get a good offensive performance. I think they'll win. I don't feel comfortable laying four. I'm going to look at the over again because I think Edmonton's going to transition to an over team with Trey Ford. We saw it last week. And I think Hamilton's offense with the OC change off a bye week, they're going to be able to put up some points finally. And don't forget, we saw an over with these two teams when they met in Edmonton earlier this year. So more so I'm looking at the total in that game, looking over.
We've got a total of 46 listed right now for Edmonton and Hamilton. Montreal at Ottawa on Saturday, Babano. Montreal Alouettes, 2-point road favorites, totals 47 in that football game. And BC, and you were just talking about the Rough Riders, BC Lions at the Rough Riders next Sunday night. They're laying 7.5. The total is 45.
Yeah, I think right now, until this Ottawa secretary gets Andridge back, it's going to be tough in a pick and price range. Montreal's only laying 2 on the road. That's a tough defense to right now to trust to win football games. And yeah, they've been competitive, but they haven't been winning. And I think with Montreal close to pick them, I'd probably lean Alouettes right now in that one. And then BC, Saskatchewan, BC, I just don't know if I want to get in front of BC. It doesn't feel like the greatest spot. They just, you know, beat Calgary and they play Saskatchewan. They already beat Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan's probably desperate, but Saskatchewan's not any good. And Mason Fine may not even play. So hard for me to back Saskatchewan, even though it seems like there's value on them, but value doesn't always cash tickets.
More with Ian Cameron on the other side. We'll get to some NFL preseason and some college football. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The late night anger match class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe over at Sirius XM Channel 159 of the Sports Grid Radio Networks. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, wherever you may be kicking it with us this evening. Babano 4-0 in the CFL to the over this week. And I'll tell you what, it was a pretty high scoring week one of NFL preseason football as well. One track meet after another. The Baltimore Ravens win streak continues. They hang on for a 1-point win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Now have won 24 consecutive preseason games. How did the preseason treat you, Babano?
Oh, it was excellent over the weekend. It was a little hit or miss on Friday, you know, a little up and down, but I think it ended up 8-2 on Saturday and Sunday combined. I think the only losses for me were San Francisco on Sunday, and then there was an over with the Jets and the Panthers on Saturday that didn't get there. But we had the Bears, we had the Bills, we had the Jets. We had, from a side perspective, we had the Jags, Jacksonville, Dallas over. So there was a lot of good results this weekend for me with betting the preseason. And just some takeaways just from the overall weekend, just things that I saw. I was impressed with Pittsburgh right from Friday. If you go back to Friday and Kenny Pickett and George Pickens, and I've said all along, I think that combination is going to be really, really good for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think people are kind of, you know, selling them short. You know, everyone talks about Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and people think Baltimore is going to be a real problem this year, and people even think Cleveland's going to be a lot better, and that's left Pittsburgh in the dust. And I think they're going to be better than some people think. I think if TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith stay healthy, that's as good a pass rush duo as there might be in the NFL. That's as good as you can ask for. So I think that's going to be the key, and I think there's enough in that offense that they could be a better team than some people think. How about your guy, Sean McDermott, Gabe? All he does is keep on cashing tickets in the preseason. I mean, this preseason track record of Sean McDermott, you just don't step in front of it right now for the Buffalo Bills. Matt Barkley, I thought, maybe closing ground on Kyle Allen as far as the backup is concerned. I thought he was outstanding. And by the way, he's been in the system. He's been in the offense now with Buffalo for a lot longer than Kyle Allen has been. So, you know, has Barkley maybe, you know, knocking on the door of being Josh Allen's backup now to start week one? We'll have to see. But that was impressive. We know Nathan Rourke. It goes without saying how good he was in the second half against Dallas. One of the best plays, you know, you'll see in a preseason game to escape multiple people trying to sack him and still fire a dart into the end zone to Olsen. It was just one of the more incredible plays you'll see in a preseason game, you know, and it's just good to see him play well, because, you know, the guy he's battling with didn't play that bad, C.J. Beathard, in the first half for Jacksonville. But Nathan Rourke clearly getting the accolades and the attention that he deserves on social media after what he did Saturday night.
Yeah, big time debut, National Football League debut for the former BC Lion and Ohio Bobcat quarterback. And I think he'll make the team. And if he doesn't, you know, there'll probably be another team that would pick him up. He does look like he belongs. Yet I think Jacksonville like him for real. And I would imagine he ends up making the Jacksonville Jaguars. You talked about Sean McDermott, and I tell you what, like everyone, we talk obviously a lot about Baltimore guys and now 24 consecutive preseason wins, which is just insane and incredible. But Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Babano, actually 16-4 now in the last 20 preseason games, 16-4 straight up. And you talked about the Buffalo Bills, who really have never, you know, they're sort of hit or miss in the preseason with the Buffalo Bills. But over the last couple of years, the Bills, like their backups are good. So they have pretty good depth, the Buffalo Bills, and 10-1 run right now, Babano. 10-1 run. Sean McDermott is on to the Buffalo Bills. Last 11 preseason games, they've won 10 of them.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing about the run for the Bills is that when you become really, really good, it's hard to hang on to your quality depth. You know, it's hard to have your third, fourth stringers at linebacker and at cornerback and at safety and on the O-line still be really, really good, because a lot of times you're trying to add to your team as a Super Bowl. And like the Rams are a perfect example. You know, they lost a lot of their depth when they were accumulating talent for Super Bowl runs, but the Bills still have that depth, even as they've been this Super Bowl contender type team here the last couple of years, which speaks volumes about the work Brandon Bean and his staff has done to accumulate quality players where someone gets injured and someone can step in and still get the job done. Certainly we saw that in the secondary last year, you know, when Tre'Davious White and some others still had injuries, and they were able to find some players still to get in there and be serviceable at the very least.
So Babano, we are now less than 2 weeks away from the start of the college football regular season, man. Week zero is upon us. So we're literally, you know, it's 13 days now. It's countdown to kickoff is real. The clock is ticking. Notre Dame and Navy will be the first game up on Saturday, 12:30 Eastern.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking over the total in that game. I remember Navy-Notre Dame last year was a high-scoring affair. I think this Notre Dame team on offense with Sam Hartman now coming in as the new quarterback from Wake Forest. I mean, that's a huge upgrade. Anybody that watched Notre Dame last year knows their quarterback play was subpar. It wasn't any good, or at least it wasn't good enough. From Drew Pine, Tyler Buchner, it didn't matter. And neither one was good enough. Neither one was consistent enough. You've got a guy that knows how to sling that football, make all the throws. He'll probably just come in here. It'll be a great upgrade at the quarterback spot for this Notre Dame team. Navy, on the other hand, you know, with the fact that cut blocking is being eliminated, you know, there's talk that this is a team that's not, you know, obviously triple option. They're going to have to alter it. They're going to be looking to at least not throw a little bit, but look for a little bit more explosion potentially in their offense. And one thing about Navy is then their offense, with the difference we're going to see from it, it's not exactly like Notre Dame defensively going into this game has a firm grasp of what they're going to see here from this Navy team in that first game. So I think Navy's probably capable of punching in a few points. Look, Notre Dame is going to do most of the scoring, but you know, 50-50 and a half, I do think there's reasons to look over. And again, these teams had a lot of points in their meeting last year.
Very manageable total, as Babano says. It's a 50 and a half right now. UMass and New Mexico State, Aggies are laying 8 points to UMass, who have, you know, annually recently been one of the worst programs in college football.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, I don't want UMass. Let's put it that way. I don't care that they're getting 8 points. This is one of the worst teams in the country. Once again, coming into the year, I worry if that offense is going to be able to move the ball. You know, their defense at times last year got a little bit better, but I just don't know if we're going to get something offensively from them. I don't like their quarterback situation. Pavia for New Mexico State really started to play well down the stretch last year. It was great in the bowl game. I definitely think the Aggies are going to win, but I took my chances, I think, once last year, maybe twice, but certainly one time. I remember I laid points with New Mexico State, and they won, but they didn't cover. I worry about that here, but there's nothing you can say to me that's going to convince me to take the Minutemen here. I want no part of this UMass team.
Other updated point spreads, Florida International. They've got really cool jerseys, those Miami Vice, the Vice jersey deal that they dropped the other day is super sick, but their jerseys are better than their football team is. So Florida International, not what they once were. They're getting 10.5 at Louisiana Tech. San Diego State hosting the Ohio Bobcats. Speaking of Nate Rourke, San Diego State, 3-point favorites in this football game. The total is 49. The total in the FIU game is 59. USC are laying it even 30 right now. The total is 64.5 against the San Jose State Spartans. Vanderbilt, 17.5-point home favorites right now against Hawaii. Total is 55.5. UTEP laying a point on the road right now, Babano, against Jacksonville State, total 52. Those are the updated and current numbers.
Yeah, I'll talk a little FIU-Louisiana Tech. That's a conference game. And now you're getting 10.5 points with Florida International. Conference USA, of course, that is. I'm tempted by the underdog in that game. A lot of people expect Louisiana Tech to be better, especially on offense. They bring in Hank Bachmeier, transfer from Boise State. I don't doubt that for a second, but I like Mike McIntyre. Remember, when he took over this team at Florida International before last year, this was a bottom feeder. He got them competing. They made great strides. Their win total is very low this year. I think FIU is going to show some improvement. And I think in these kind of point spreads, double digits as underdogs, you're going to see FIU cover some numbers this year. And I'm going to take my chances they can do that here in week one. Grayson James, their dual threat quarterback, showed me some flashes last year. I think they can hang there. Louisiana Tech's defense, I'm still not sold on it.
And then so that's week zero. They're calling it week zero. It's not week one. Then on Thursday, August 31st, we've got some good games. Nebraska and Minnesota start the season, some Big Ten football. And you've got the rematch, Florida and Utah. Last year, this game was on a Saturday afternoon, the Florida-Utah game. This year, Babano, it's on a Thursday night. Big night of football that Thursday night, August 31st. You've got Kent State and Central Florida, NC State at UConn, Nebraska, Minnesota, and then Florida and Utah is the nightcap at 9:00 Eastern.
Yeah, from those games, I'll give you one that I know I'll be on right now, and that's UConn. I'll be taking those points with them against NC State. NC State, of course, sees Devin Leary depart, breaking in their new quarterback this year. Brennan Armstrong, he's experienced Virginia transfer, but still going to be maybe a little bit of an adjustment for him. You know, I like what I saw from UConn. You talk about another team that down the stretch, competitive, tough out. Jim Moore Jr. doing nice things. And UConn lost, I think, the best quarterback they had on their team last year, early in the year. He got injured early in the year. Now he's healthy again for the UConn Huskies coming into the new season. And he looks like he's going to be good to go here for this opener. So this, to me, Friday night home game in stores, I could see the Huskies hanging around here. And Taquan Roberson, there's his name. I was blanking on it. Taquan Roberson's healthy. Dual threat, can run, can throw. I think UConn can hang within two touchdowns in that game. They're not going to win, but NC State laying that many on the road with the question marks they have coming into the year, I don't think they're nearly as good this season. I think UConn can stay inside that big number.
I agree with you. I think they can. They've got this game circled as well, UConn. They're really looking forward to this game. They got beat up. NC State beat them last year. UConn think that they can hang, right? They're looking for payback, actually. Like you said, I'm not sure they're going to be able to win the game outright. But UConn, I tell you what, they've done a really good job in the transfer portal as well. You know, you're talking about Mora, people like him and kids want to play for him. He's done a great job recruiting, put this football team on the map. Their win total is 5.5, so they got to get to 6 wins to go bowling to actually win the win total this year. But I think they can if you look at the schedule. So Babano says he likes the UConn Huskies plus the 15 right now in week 0.5, 1.5? It's the Thursday night, but I guess that'll be week one. Hey, great stuff, Babano. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us tonight. We'll catch up with you later in the week.
Always good to be with you, Gabe. We'll talk on Wednesday.
The Late Night Anchor Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's the dumbest bet I ever heard of.
I disagree.
Let's roll the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks. All right. Thanks to Ian Cameron. So this football thing is getting real right now. Less than 2 weeks away, we'll start to focus in on the week zero games, and then week one, man, there's a flash flood warning. Big time games, TCU and Colorado. It's going to be a big time game on September the 2nd to get the day going. We're talking about their win totals, but I want to get into some baseball talk a little bit. The Los Angeles Dodgers are on a complete tear right now, and they're starting to play themselves in a position to cash their season win total of 96.5. 26 more wins needed. They're 71-46 right now, riding an 8-game win streak, sweeping the Colorado Rockies. So the Dodgers have pulled away. They're 8.5 games up on San Francisco right now. Arizona are 12.5 back, and San Diego season is all but done. Right? Everybody keeps waiting, and there's so much talent on that baseball team that you figured that they had a run in them. Every team goes on runs, even bad teams. Hell, the Kansas City Royals won 6 games in a row last week or whatever. Right? Even bad teams go on these runs, and you know, you go 10-2 in 12 games, and you play yourself back into the wild card picture. It's just not happening. They're getting further. They're not getting closer. Another disastrous weekend for San Diego, and they're 15.5 games behind the Los Angeles Dodgers right now. As far as the wild card is concerned, man, this is some pretty crazy stuff. There's like, How many teams are there? There's like six teams. You know what's crazy? That Arizona, as bad as Arizona have been, like Arizona are only 2.5 games out of a playoff spot right now. Philadelphia are starting to, Philadelphia are on a 2-game losing streak right now, but still, they're 65-54. They're going to make the playoffs, and the Philadelphia Phillies are going to be a dangerous team to deal with in the playoffs. We saw last year they got hot. They went to the World Series. Nobody's really talking about them. And, in fact, let's take a look at what their let's see what the number is actually here. National League, to win the National League. See, like, look these odds, great odds. Great odds. Look, the Atlanta Braves are plus 140 to win the National League, like in the playoffs, to represent the National League. The Los Angeles Dodgers are plus 170. Now, if you like the Dodgers, the price is never really going to get any better, but it's not a very, you know, it's not a good price. Like, if the Dodgers are playing the Braves, it's going to be like a pick-em anyway. So, like, there's no value, there's no use, there's no need and purpose to take the Atlanta Braves or the Los Angeles Dodgers to win the National League. You can just bet them in their series, and if they end up playing against each other, the series is going to be basically a pick-em anyways. So there's really, you know, the plus 140 and plus 170 is not, you know, it's not attractive enough to want to have your money waiting. When you're looking for a future play, you want some value, and what a big drop-off, though, after. Right, like the Atlanta Braves are plus 140, the Dodgers are plus 170, then the Philadelphia Phillies are 10-1. Milwaukee are 16-1. Chicago Cubs are 17-1. I don't think anybody that follows baseball could seriously make a winning argument that it's going to be one of those other teams. Like, basically, we know, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be the Atlanta Braves, the Los Angeles Dodgers, or the Philadelphia Phillies that are in the World Series this year. I don't think the Milwaukee Brewers have a hope in hell of making it to the World Series. I don't think the Cubs have a hope in hell of making it to the World Series. And I don't think the San Francisco Giants do. San Diego are 17-1. San Diego, I mean, they're just 17-1. You got to make the playoffs, actually. San Diego are now 5.5 games back, which isn't like insurmountable. Like, if you were a hot team and you were like 22-7 or something in the last month, and you're like, man, we played ourselves back into this thing. We're only 5.5 games back. That's not really the case with San Diego. It's 5.5, but it feels like it's 15.5, like the division does. And their problem is they have too many teams ahead of them. There's 6 teams that they need to be better than, and need to collapse. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're only trying to, like, kind of try to catch one team, it's like, all right, we just got to stock that. We got to catch the Marlins. Like, you know what I mean? We got to keep pace with the Marlins. That's not San Diego's case. Arizona are ahead of them. The Reds are ahead of them. The Cubs are ahead of them. The Marlins are ahead of them. San Francisco are ahead of them. Philadelphia's ahead of them. There's a lot of teams to climb to get there and to actually stay there. So Philadelphia are in, San Francisco are in right now, and the Marlins are hanging on to the last wild card spot. The Phillies have a 3-game lead in the wild card. Chase. San Francisco plus 1.5. The Marlins are the last. Like, if the playoffs started tomorrow, the Marlins are in right now. The Chicago Cubs are a half game out of the wild card. The Cincinnati Reds are a half game out of the wild card. The Arizona Diamondbacks. These guys are like, you know, they're a train wreck, but they win two games in a row, and suddenly they're 2.5 games back at 500 at 59-59. Then San Diego are 5.5 back. Pittsburgh, well, whatever. We're not, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates aren't making the playoffs, but they're 8.5 back right now. The American League, the Tampa Bay Rays are the top wild card team right now. They're 2.5 games up on Houston. The Toronto Blue Jays are hanging on to the last wild card spot right now. The Seattle Mariners, who just lost two games. The Mariners are a dangerous team, and that's the one. If I was the Blue Jays, I'd be concerned about the Mariners. I don't think the Astros are, like, the Astros are making the playoffs. Right, the Astros could win a division. Like, the Astros, I think the Astros are the real deal. The Astros aren't just going to fade away into oblivion this year. The Astros are making the playoffs. The Tampa Bay Rays, now with this Franco stuff, you know, like, they have a ton of injuries already to their staff. It was impossible to play the level of baseball that they were playing for the entire season, but now you've got this Franco thing. It's a pretty ugly story. Well, are the Rays, can the Rays, you know, the Rays are the one, put it this way. I think there's a better chance of the Rays missing the playoffs than I do the Astros. So I, like, out of these teams here, I have confidence in the Astros. I think the Astros are in. The Toronto Blue Jays should get in. They win more than they lose, but they're very streaky, the Jays. Right, they'll score 10, 12 runs in a game, and, you know, I mean, they'll win four in a row, but then they'll lose four in a row. Like, they're, it's actually surprising the Jays are 66-54. It doesn't feel like they're 66-54. There's something about that team. I don't know what it is. Like I said, like, if you speak to Jay fans, they think the team's kind of a disappointment. But if you speak to outsiders, a lot of people think they're a very dangerous team. That, oh boy, I tell you what, the Jays in the playoffs, if they get there, right? There's a lot of ifs around the Toronto Blue Jays all the time. And I think Seattle are pretty good. Boston are lingering right now as well. But to me, so basically you got Houston, Tampa Bay, Houston, Toronto, and Seattle. Those are the teams, I think. I think Boston are eventually going to start to slip up a little bit. And, you know, so who's, are Seattle going to get in and to Toronto? Are Toronto going to fall apart? Are Tampa now going to fall apart? I don't think it's going to be Houston that falls apart. Monday's games, and we have, of course, a clean slate of series is starting here. Speaking of the Astros are in Miami. Valdez versus Garrett. Houston are minus 135. The total is 7.5. The Yankees. I put a bet in on the Yankees not to make the playoffs, and that was a good bet that we made and a smart decision when we did that about 6 weeks ago as well. We were at, you know, I was never high on the Yankees to begin with. So we should have clicked it when it was like plus 260 or something like that. But we still did get nice. I think I got plus 150 or plus 160 or something like that. So the Yankees, Schmidt on the hill at Atlanta. Not an ideal situation for the Yankees now to deal with the Atlanta Braves. Max Fried. Except to tell you what, minus 235 is a pretty big price. The Cardinals. There's no way in hell I would lay minus 210 with the Cardinals. I don't care who they're playing. If the Cardinals were playing like the Memphis Redbirds, I still would have laid minus 210. Cardinals are minus 210 against the Athletics. Sears is on the hill. The A's are plus 175. The total is 8.5 in that game. The total is 9 in the Yankees and the Braves game. The Angels. And you notice what we just talked about, the, you know, the wild card picture here. We didn't talk too much about the Angels. Angels are 6.5 games back. They've got a lot of work to do. They've got a lot of teams to climb. The Angels, though, are capable of going on a little mini run. We've seen them do it. This is what they do, the Angels. Like, they sort of play pedestrian 500-type baseball, and then, boom, they'll win six in a row. Right? They had that losing streak coming off of the trade deadline. I don't think the Angels are going to make it, but they could still go on a run here. Their season, like, I mean, it's not completely done, but let's be real. Like, they're in a lot of trouble. they're not going to make it. Angels have Sandoval on the hill, plus 160. They're in Texas. Big-time series here. Max Scherzer, minus 180. The total is 9. The Mariners, Gilbert, minus 145, are in KC. This is a winnable series for Seattle. Minus 145. The total is 9 in that game. We've got Baltimore and San Diego. Rodriguez versus Yu Darvish. We've got the Rays in San Francisco. Glasnow versus Walker. We'll break down the games tomorrow on Game Time Decisions. So, UFC, Matthias, how did you do with the picks? Luque victorious. Cub Swanson victorious. Fight goes the distance. How did you end up doing with your UFC selections?
Oh, Gabe, we did great. Honestly, we did fantastic. I think I got away with one with Cub Swanson. I know on the show I told you I thought Cub was going to win. I scored it 2-1, Dawodu. Watching it, I haven't rewatched the fight, but I was stunned when they gave Cub the decision. I clearly scored it 2-1, Dawodu. But, you know, I was with other people in the room, and they actually both scored it for Cub. So, you know, and the three judges all gave the decision to Cub. So maybe I was on the wrong side of the stick. But when you go on Twitter, it seems like everybody was on my side of the stick. Everybody was thinking that Cub lost that fight. So again, you know, that line actually grew from plus 180 all the way to plus 235 right before the fight started. And when the fight ended, Dawodu was actually a minus 1,000 betting favorite closing odds, Gabe. So to see Cub win the fight, yeah, it was insane, Gabe. UFC. I felt good because I had Cub, but you know what?
That's
bittersweet.
Yeah, when you bet on that stuff, it's you're going to win some fights that you shouldn't. You know what I mean? And so you're going to get screwed sometimes on a fight that you should. But this is the one thing that we don't talk about enough, actually, is MMA live betting is insanely good. Like, the odds makers, like you said, like, they'll – your fights that are kind of toss-ups, somebody will be a big favorite. Even if you didn't like the fighter, you just take them. Right, you just take the dog because another thing is too. I don't know what it is. There's weird decisions in that Apex place. The late night anger management class.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shout out to all of our guests this evening. Ian Cameron, Brent Beard, Mo Khan. Thanks to Matthias in the booth. And shout out to everybody in our live chat. Gabriel Ciccone, what's up, Ciccone? How you doing? AUD, what up, AUD? Unique has been in our chat a lot lately. How you doing, though, Unique? And, of course, we got our boy John in Chicago, Chris Brady in Spokane in a full house. Nick actually asking a valid point, actually, Nick. I saw that as well. How is UTEP only a 1-point favorite against Jacksonville State? Very good. I noticed that game as well. I think UTEP, we've been talking about UTEP's win total on the season. I think you're bang on there, Nick. I do like the Miners. It's mining. We're going to go mining for some money with the UTEP Miners in that game. So Major League Baseball takes precedent tomorrow. Leagues Cup, Women's World Cup. We're down to the Final Fours right now. Women's World Cup. We play Tuesday night, which is actually Tuesday there, Monday for us overnight, late Monday night. So tomorrow night. Is that tomorrow night or Tuesday? I get confused with Australia all the time.
Tomorrow night, Gabe. Tomorrow night we get Sweden and Spain. Yeah.
But they're a day ahead, so I know it's Tuesday there, Monday, etc. So Spain and Sweden. Spain, plus 110. Total, we'll get to the total in a second. The draw is plus 230. The Swedes are plus 250. The total, obviously, is 2.5, but it's minus 188 to the under. And Australia.
Gabe, I got to say, man. The book hasn't learned, and I'm rolling with Sweden, and I love that they didn't figure it out yet, Gabe. I think Sweden wins this game, and they're damn good, Gabe.
We talked about Sweden. Listen, all teams are on a mission and stuff, but Sweden really were. Like I said, I watched the Countdown to World Cup show. I saw like a 60-minute special on them. Like, and yeah, they want this thing bad. I think the Swedes are live as well, Matthias. I'm not quite as bold as you or as brave, but I do like Sweden, like plus a goal type of thing. We'll break it down tomorrow night. Other than that, you're on your own. Countdown to kickoff.